We talked about preciousness of our human life, how to give our life meaning in terms of seeking temporal goals like dying peacefully and having a good rebirth, ultimate goals such as liberation and enlightenment, and how to make our life meaningful moment to moment by transforming all the actions we do to a way of generating love and compassion. And we talked about how rare this life was, difficult to get because it's hard to create the causes for it, difficult to get because there's so few human beings with precious human lives. And then according to the analogy, the turtle, you can see how difficult it is. And so that persuades us to take the essence of our life, because we see it's precious, it's rare, and we can do incredible things. And then the way to take the essence of our life is divided into three major chunks, okay? The chunk, or the path that's in common with a person of the lowest level motivation, or the initial motivation, and that person is somebody who's seeking a happy death and a good rebirth, okay, because they want to be free of, you know, confusion at death time and a painful rebirth, get a good rebirth, and then they practice karma or ethics, you know, to do that. Then the second level is that in common with a person of the intermediate level motivation, where we seek to be free of all the confusions of any rebirth whatsoever. We want to get off the Ferris wheel. We want to attain liberation, so we generate the determination to be free from all of our confusion. And then we practice the method of the three higher trainings, ethics, concentration, and wisdom. And then the highest level motivation, which is developed gradually through these three levels, but which we should have in our mind as the final goal, even when we're on the initial level of motivation. In actual fact, we always have this aspiration to get to the final one. That person wants to free others from all of their confusion. They're being trapped in this yo-yo of existence. And so that person wants to attain full enlightenment in order to have all the capabilities and talents necessary to help others most effectively. And then the method they develop, the altruistic intention to become a Buddha for the benefit of others, and then the method they practice are the six far-reaching attitudes, and then the tantric path. Okay, so that's what we did last session. I hope people have been thinking about it since then, please. So now we're going to go back to the initial level practice, okay, that initial motivation, and go through that more in depth. And so we see in that one that the first topic is remembering death, okay? And then we talk about another favorite topic of ours, lower realms. Yeah, these are the two hot spots of the Lam Rim that everybody wants to hear about. And by thinking about those, it makes us more concerned about dying and being reborn. And so then that makes us take an interest in getting some guides, in other words, in taking refuge in the Triple Gem as a guide through all this mess. And then the general guidance that the Triple Gem gives us right off the bat is about karma. So in this initial level motivation, those are the four principal topics. Death and the lower realms being a way to activate our interest in making, you know, in doing something. And then refuge in observing karma, the way to do something to solve the problem. Okay? So now I'm trying to give you kind of the general scope and then slowly narrow it in so that you know where we are and how the topics fit together, because this will really help you understand. So when we start talking about death, okay, the first thing we talk about is the disadvantages of not thinking about death and the advantages of thinking about it. And then we talk about it. Now, you can guess why first we talk about the disadvantages of not thinking about it and the advantages of thinking about it, because our usual reaction is death? I don't want to think about it. now, isn't it? I mean, we go through our whole life, and this is the thing that we least want to talk about, least want to think about, and yet it's the one certain thing that we definitely will do. Yeah. And so this one certain thing, you know, that we have to go through is the thing that we least want to face. Very interesting, isn't it? Yeah, how our mind works, how we really want to ignore reality. And so by not facing death and facing our own mortality, we are creating fear in our own mind. And we are festering this fear. You know, it's like the little kid who's afraid that there's an elephant in the room. Yeah? So rather than turn on the light to check and see if there's an elephant, they just sit at the door and whimper and cry. Yeah? And so that's kind of the way our society often handles death. You know, rather than take it out of the secret, let's find some light on it, let's look at it, let's see what's going on here, we just keep it all in the dark and then remain terrified of it. Yeah? So death need not be a terrifying thing, but we make it very fearful by refusing to think about it. Okay? So here, you know, here's why it's really important to think about the disadvantages of not thinking about it and the advantages of thinking about it, because it needn't be so terrible. Yeah? We always think that if we think about death, it may happen. Yeah? Well, even if we don't think about it, it's still going to happen. Yeah? So... Yeah, and I remember, you know, I suppose you've all had similar experiences when you drive by a cemetery as a little kid and you say, Mommy, Daddy, what's this? And they say, what's what? You know? And when you finally convince them there's something unusual there, they go, oh, well, that's where people die. Well, that's where people are when they die. Well, what does die mean? Oh, well, we have to make a right turn here. You know? I mean... And then finally, the most answer we get out of them is people go to sleep for a long time. Yeah? And so just from the time we're kids, it's like death is, we definitely get the idea this is something you don't ask about, you don't think about. Yeah? And so it just kind of sits there. You know? Like, makes for a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension. And then our society, when we do look at it, we try and cover it up. So we embalm people, yeah, to make them beautiful when they're dead, so that we don't even have to think that they're dead. We can actually think that they're sleeping for a long time because they look so beautiful. And I remember when one of my friend's mothers died, she had Hodgkin's, and so she was really wasted, you know, when she finally died. And then they embalmed her and everything. And when people went up to see the body, they said, I haven't seen her look that good in a long time. I can't believe it, you know? Yeah, I mean, that's how we treat death. And people are very concerned about it. You know, they make good plans. You know, who their makeup artist is going to be when they're dead. They want to look beautiful in their casket. You know, I mean, this is just indicative of our whole closed-mindedness towards the issue of death. You know? And also indicative of all the anxiety that goes on about it. You know? And then, you look at the cemeteries. I mean, I don't even remember driving by a cemetery in Seattle. You have them very well hidden here. Yeah. In Los Angeles, what they do is they make memorial parks out of them. And Forest Lawn now has an art museum at the cemetery with copies of the Pietà and all these very famous artwork. So on Sunday afternoon, you can go to the cemetery, Mom, Dad, and the kids, and look at the artwork. Yeah. I mean, just completely blocking out death again. You go to see the artwork in the museum. And then our society also blocks it out with this whole issue of cybernetics, yeah? And so like Walt Disney, you know, they froze his whole body. to, you know, so that when they, you know, when science finds a way to keep us from dying, you know, they can defrost Walt Disney, and, you know. And I remember a few years ago, I love this. I read a newspaper article, and there was one man, you know, he didn't have enough money. His mother was dying. He didn't have enough money to freeze all of her. So they took off her head, you know, with the idea that you freeze her head and then later you can defrost her head, attach it to another body, and she'll still be there. She'll be able to come back to life. Well, the difficulty was, what happened is they did it and then they lost her head. Yeah. It was, you know, it's just so I mean, this is just indicative of the extent to which we deny death, you know, and yet it is a very regular, natural process that happens to everybody. Okay. Now, here, in thinking about death, the Dharma way of doing it is we're going to face it honestly, you know, so we're going to take out all that fear, and instead of, you know, letting it fester in the closet, we're going to take it out and look at it, okay? And it probably won't be as bad as you think it's going to be once you take it out and look at it. And the purpose of doing this is to get us in touch with reality, okay? And by doing that, it makes us have more energy to do our Dharma practice. Yeah? Because by understanding death, that gives us a framework with which to look at our life and again really appreciate it and take full advantage of the opportunities that we have in this life. Okay? One very simple way, just from my own experience of this, I was studying one text in India once, and it had 8 chapters in it, all about impermanence. And so every afternoon, Geshe-la was teaching us, you know, about death and impermanence when we got to these, I don't think actually all 8 chapters of this one section were about death, but a good number. We spent a long time on it. And so I'd listen to death for 2 hours, you know, and talk about death for 2 hours, go back in my room and meditate on it. And I tell you, those months when we were doing that, my mind was so peaceful and calm. It was just amazing. Yeah? Why? Because when we really remember our own mortality, it helps us figure out what is important in our life and what is not important. So it's a very, very good yardstick to take out when we get confused. Because you know how we get confused and anxious and we don't know what to do. And if we just think, well, at the time I'm dying and leaving this life and going on to my next rebirth, looking back at this, what would have been the best thing to do? Yeah. And so this is especially good, you know, when you're really getting angry at somebody, somebody's really bugging you and you're angry at them, and then you think, well, when I die and I look back on this, yeah, do I want to be thinking about how I got so angry and irritated at this thing this person did? Is this really going to be important to me at the time I die? Or is this, you know, small insult or whatever it was, really kind of a really trivial thing? Why put so much mental energy into it if at the time of death it's not going to have any relevance to me at all? And so likewise, all these things that we worry about so much, if we really think, well, at the time of death, is all this worry going to have done me any good? Yeah? And then we really think, no, you know, who needs this worry? Who needs to be so concerned about all this stuff? So you see, all the things that usually make us so anxious, when we think about our life from the perspective of death, all those things cease to be important, so automatically our mind gets more peaceful. Okay? So, you know, this is some of the way that we can really use death to enrich the quality of our life. Okay? And that's the whole purpose when the Buddha talked about death and transience and impermanence. Okay? Now, we're going to go into the 6 disadvantages of not remembering death here. And this is really a very, very interesting section. We get into lots of juicy little things here because we start to sidetrack a little bit. Okay, so if we look at the disadvantages of not remembering death, the first one is that we don't remember the Dharma. In other words, we're not mindful of the Dharma if we don't think of death. And you can really see this. When we don't remember our own death, who needs the Dharma, you know? Let's go out and have a good time. Right? I mean, look how most of our society lives. Nobody thinks about death. People pretend it doesn't exist. So the whole purpose of life becomes to have as much pleasure as you can possibly have. Yeah? And so people live, you know, just running from one pleasure to the other in the attempt to be happy because they don't think about death. Now, in terms of us personally, when we don't think about death, we don't even think of the Dharma at all because we're too busy running around looking for our worldly pleasures for our happiness right now. Okay? So, you know, at the time, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, I just can't get myself to sit down on the meditation cushion. Yeah, or I just, you know, my Dharma practice isn't going well. Well, one of the reasons is we don't think about the fact that we're going to leave this life. So without thinking about that fact, then we don't think about the necessity of the Dharma. So, of course, we don't sit down and practice. Then, even if we do think about, you know, if we do remember Dharma, okay, but we don't think about death, then the second disadvantage comes, okay, that even if we're mindful of the Dharma, we won't practice it. We procrastinate. Okay. Now, we know this mind very well. Okay. I'll do Dharma later, you know. I mean, I have my career to think about. I have my kids to think about. I have to, you know, earn a certain amount of money and get some money in the bank for my old age. And I have all these other things I have to do. So Dharma will come later. First, I want to get my career, my family, get everything going. Then when I'm old and I have nothing to do, then I'll practice the Dharma. Yeah? Or, I don't know. I don't feel like doing anything. I'll do it next time, you know. I don't feel like going to teachings. I'll go to teachings next time. I don't want to do this retreat. I'll go to the next retreat. You know? I mean, that mind, the manana mind. Okay? Manana. I'll do it later. You know? And this is the way we very often are about our Dharma practice. Yeah? You know, the alarm clock rings in the morning because you finally, you know, after, because I sit here and nag you and pester you so much about doing your practice that you kind of, you know, okay, well, I'll try and get up tomorrow morning, you know. And then the alarm clock goes on, off, and you think, I'll just go back to sleep. I'll do my practice in the evening. So we just procrastinate. And this is because we don't remember our own transience. We don't remember that our life ends and that, you know, once this time is under the bridge, once this water's under the bridge, it is no more. You know? So we don't feel any urgency about our practice. Yeah? So, you know, I mean, for those of you that have this kind of procrastinating mind and you find it disturbing, one of the antidotes is to spend more time thinking about transience. It invigorates you to practice. Then, the next disadvantage is even if we practice, we won't do it purely because our mind is going to be concerned with worldly things. So actually, I'm going to come back to this one because this has a bunch of other material. So I'm just mentioning it right now. I'm going to go through all 6 and then come back and explain this one in depth. Okay, and then the 4th one is that, you know, even we remember the Dharma, we'll lose determination to practice it earnestly at all times. Okay, so our practice lacks intensity, strength, and consistency. So this is, you know, this explains why we rationalize so much, you know. Well, you know, I meditated yesterday and I really don't want to push myself too much. So I think this morning I'll take it easy. You know, this is kind of explains why we have this on-again, off-again mind about Dharma. kind of we'll do it for a while, and then we get carried away and we start doing other things and we lose interest. Then we come back to it, you know, and then we lose interest again. And so you might have this feeling sometimes that you kind of get somewhere and you never get beyond that in your practice. And that's usually because we don't practice consistently. We're on again, off again. Okay? Because we don't think about death, so we don't do something every day. We're just, you know, this kind of attitude. And we don't, and even we do sit down to practice, we don't much have much oomph in our practice. It's more like, well, I'll do these namo groove, you know, but I don't know, you know, we kind of, you know, well, I'll just say these prayers because, you know, I got to say them, and get them done. Yeah? So, again, I mean, saying the prayers like that is better than not saying them at all. Okay, so I'm not saying don't say them if you don't say them perfectly. Say them, okay, but if we sometimes feel like, you know, we're not being completely honest when we're doing all the prayers, it's often because we haven't really been thinking enough about our own mortality, so we don't have that oomph and that interest that thinking about death gives to our practice. Okay? You know, and this you know, not thinking about death, this is also, you know, when we actually get ourselves to sit down, we start to meditate, we do the prayers, oh, my knees hurt, my back hurts, you know, well, yeah, I'll get up and I'll go watch TV instead, you know, kind of like once we get ourselves to the cushion, how we can't stay there, all this interruption, again, it comes because we're not thinking about death. Yeah, if we really think about it, these kinds of thoughts will torment us so much. Another disadvantage to not remembering death is that we just get really involved with negative actions. Okay? Because again, if we don't think about death and we don't think about future lives, then we also don't think about the causes that we're creating by the actions we're doing now. So we just tend to act whatever which old way that seems to be the best way to do now without thinking of the long-term consequences. So if it's convenient to lie, we lie because we're not thinking about death, we're not thinking about karma, we're not thinking about the problems that lying now will bring us in the future. Okay? So by not thinking about death, we just get involved in a lot of negative actions. Okay? And then, of course, we get involved in more negative actions, our mind gets more obscured, it becomes harder to practice, we get more confused. So it really, you know, becomes like a vicious circle. And then another disadvantage is that then when we actually reach the time of death, we die with a lot of regret. Yeah, and I think this must be incredibly painful, you know, to kind of go through your whole life doing whatever you're doing to get happiness, you know. Then you get to the time you're dying and you look back on your life and you say, what have I done? Yeah, how has my life been meaningful? Yeah, because let's say, you know, you're dying of this cancer or heart disease or whatever it is, you know you don't have long, but you look back on your life and how have I spent it? Yeah? Well, I've spent it, you know, putting on big fancy airs to make people think I'm important. You know, I've spent it running around playing sports to get more trophies so that I can believe that I'm worthwhile. You know, I spent it lying to get more money and to cover up all the, you know, devious things I've done. Yeah, and I think it must be incredibly painful to get to that point, you know, right before one dies and look at death, look at one's life, you know, and just say, well, I've spent my whole life getting angry at people, I've held grudges, you know, and haven't talked to people in years and years, and have the mind so tight, and then have so little time to actually relax it and make it peaceful before one dies. I think that must be terrifying to get to that point. So I think that by remembering death and keeping this in mind, I think it really makes us keep a very clear slate. Because if we remember death, we remember that it might come any time, then we want to have our emotional life in order. We don't want to have all these yucked up relationships with hard feelings and belligerence and grudges. We don't want to have all the remorse and regret and guilt. Okay? So all these things that often we sit with for decades in our life that just lead to so much confusion at death. You know, if we really maintain an awareness of death, we can help clean out a lot of this emotional baggage so that actually our lives become more peaceful now.